Welcome into the whole show, powered by PDC Energy. We're live from the Allo Communications Studios on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. Good to be back in the studio. You know, we went out yesterday to the Front Range huddle, and some Rams fans are just mad at me, Angel. There's drama between. Yeah, what is this about? Susan and Cheryl don't even like that. Front Range huddle, an opportunity for coaches to get out into one kind of central location. Coaches talking, meeting the media. You're going to see them all over nightly news. Probably, maybe you did last night. You will tonight. It's a good event. Now, there was drama between CSU and the Blake Street Tavern. Won't get into it because we already did. But, like, you don't own me, Rams fans. You don't own me. I love talking all things CSU, but CSU did not go to the event. And UNC did. CU, of course, was there. Air Force was there. We didn't get a chance to catch up with Coach Calhoun. But we talked about, you know, two of the teams that we predominantly cover here on the station and on the show. So I absolutely love the opportunity to get out to a remote and focus on Northern Colorado football. So interesting to the reactions I'm interested in some of those reactions that came out against it, but it was a good time. I really enjoyed being out there. Now, it's not like an endorsement of that place necessarily. I ate there. Good food. Watch some of the Rockies debacle. But yeah, it's just drama. I don't really get into it on that side of it. You know, they didn't offend me personally. Listen, man, I get it. Now, CSU again cited scheduling conflicts and stuff, but there was drama in March. If a tavern or a restaurant is making fun of your program and your conference, I understand if you don't want to go. I get that. I think personally I would have probably gone if I had the time. But is that event the end-all be-all? Probably not. But it's a solid event. It's a positive event. I don't fault CSU. If I'm the tavern owner, the Blake Street Tavern owner, I'm probably not tweeting that. But if you're comfortable losing Rams fans, then that's your prerogative. Don't expect CSU to be excited to load up their people and come down. I actually sided with CSU to begin this whole thing. But some of the reaction to, like, media going down and covering the event, it's still an event. It's still a big event. It's still a fun event. So just calm your jets, all right? We had an opportunity to catch up with Carl Durrell, Ed McCaffrey, all of that. It was fun. Tanner Schwint joined me out there. Of course, one of the hosts of Good Morning NoCo. That was a lot of fun. It was good. And you did a great job, Angel, producing. We hadn't done a remote in a while. So, you know, when you're kind of, we're going blind. We're not seeing each other. I got to get a cut out of you. I'd like to get a cut out of you so that I can put it in front of me when I'm on remote from now on, because it throws
me off.
Pull up
a picture of me on your phone or something.
I could. That's actually a good idea. And I'll just be like, Angel, what do you think? And you'll just be, and I'll have like different pictures of different kind of facial gestures and things like that. That way I'll be like, oh, he likes that take. Oh, he's not into that take. That would help me tremendously.
Yeah, but that was a really cool event that you and Tanner went out and did yesterday. Obviously getting to talk to Coach McCaffrey, Coach Durrell, just being in that atmosphere of coaches and getting excited. Like, we're so close. We have actual football. We got preps football tonight. We got college football this weekend. We're hitting the ground running with this, and it was cool to hear from the coaches.
Big high school football action. I mean, we're starting it off the right way. You've got a fantastic set for, I mean, if you just want to check out our schedule, you absolutely should. It's at 1310kfka.com, and there you'll see our full high school football broadcast schedule. But starting things off with the bang tonight, actually in my neck of the woods, Loveland at Fossil Ridge, they're playing in Timnath, the brand new field. I drive by it all the time. It's gorgeous out there. So I told Clark, I said, I might be able to see the lights from my house. No, I'm not that close, but it's going to be cool. And so we got the full broadcast schedule, 6:30, the pregame starts tonight, and then 7 o'clock. Today's kind of one of those days, man. We'll be taking the program up to 2, as we always do, and Rocky's Rundown will be today. And listen, that was a debacle yesterday. So I am kind of curious to hear what Tanner and Jerry Schimmel, one of the voices of the Rockies, have to say about what was it, 16-4? 20 runs. Oh, my goodness. It was a bad deal. So I am interested, though, to kind of get Jerry's thoughts on that game, because we're seeing a little fight once in a while from the Rockies, but we're also seeing just absolute embarrassing losses, and that one kind of takes the cake overall with, Urania was bad. He gave up 9 earned runs, man. I mean, he was on nine hits. So it was out of control early on in that one. Yeah, so we got Rockies rundown. And then at 5 o'clock, before our high school football game, we're bringing back Rams Weekly. Yeah, Susan and Cheryl. There you go, Rams fan. I mean, I still love you. I still love talking Colorado State. We got Rams Weekly with the guys from the Coloradoan, Chris Abshire and Kevin Lytle. Great people. We're going to be doing that every single week to really set the tone for the big game week. This week's more of a preview. And of course, we got the Clay Millen Show on Mondays. And then I do a lot of Rams talk. So absolutely love it. I'm into it. But we do cover a lot, man. I'm not a one sport dude. I'm not a one team guy. I couldn't carry this show for 3 hours talking CSU every single day, all day. There's a lot going on.
No, you cover a lot of teams very well. And if you're the only person talking about CSU, you're the best person to do it. So I'm not complaining.
I guess it's good because you got worked up a little bit. Great. I want you to. It's football season. We want to get worked up. I want you guys poking fun at the Buffs. I want Buffs poking fun at the Rams. I want everybody getting at it, because that's what creates a fun football environment, is when the fan bases just kind of hate each other in the sports hate sense. Angel, our Method Flow Products poll question of the day. This is a tough one, actually. You know, I jumped on briefly with the crew from Good Morning NoCo to talk about the AFC West. I'm not curious today. Who's gonna win this thing? Still think that's a coin toss, a four-sided coin toss, if you can find one of those. But I do think this is the question. Who's going to finish last in the AFC West? And I'm kind of interested in the response, or it is interesting to see the response. 35% of the hooligans say it's going to be the Broncos. So that's the majority right there. Then it's the Raiders. Then it's the Chargers. Then it's the Chiefs. So, Angel, if you just tip my computer upside down, you have also the order of who's winning this, then, according to the hooligans. Chiefs, Chargers, Raiders, Broncos, which has been consistent with our other poll questions that ask who's going to win this thing. So I just reversed it on you. Jedi mind trick. It's almost the same question, but just worded differently. But I wanted to see who you thought would finish last. And Angel, I'm just going to say, I don't think it's a hot take. If you say maybe the Chiefs finish last in the AFC West, that doesn't mean the Chiefs are bad. That doesn't mean they had a huge falling out. But I'm telling you, they have a very tough schedule to start the season. And they're going to adjust to life without Tyreek Hill. I'm fascinated by these takes of, well, this team just lost a key player, they'll be fine. This team just lost a key player, they'll be fine. You don't know that. Patrick Mahomes has been a phenomenal quarterback. But you have Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill, two arguably at the best at their position. I mean, Tyreek Hill, is he a top five receiver in the NFL? And Travis Kelce, of course, you might make the case that he's number one. So I'm not... I think Patrick Mahomes is already a Hall of Famer. I do. And that's crazy, because I'm still thinking Russell Wilson has some work to do. But Mahomes' numbers have just been unreal since he's been in the NFL, since he's been a starting quarterback. But I'm not going to sit here and say Tyreek Hill's just another guy. I don't think Tyreek's just another guy. There's like 5, maybe 7 wide receivers in the league that I think are special. Tyreek's one of those guys. Number one, because of his speed. This is the whole thing. Like Jerry Jeudy, we talk about Jerry Jeudy being a special player, or could be a special player. His hands aren't there, but the speed's there. Tyreek has good hands, and the speed's there. That's what makes him a special player. The prospect of Jerry Jeudy being so good is, right now, the reason he's still in the league is because of that speed. He hasn't lived up to the first-round draft status at all, but you still think that maybe there's something there because of his ability to separate himself from a cornerback or a safety. And Tyreek Hill does that perhaps better than anybody in the league.
Yeah, I mean, obviously I've been watching a lot of Tyreek tape and film and just trying to understand what exactly he does on a football field. And it's more than just, oh, Tyreek, run a go and I'll throw it to you. It's,
yeah,
hey, run a slant, run a drag, run a cross, run this. Or, hey, just go out and block for somebody because he's an insane blocker.
Yeah.
And he was all over the field, and defenses have to scheme for that. And when you have, when you take that away and it's just Kelce and a bunch of receivers, you got to wonder if Patrick Mahomes can still piece that offense together.
And it's not me saying, take it easy, Chiefs fans. It's not me saying that Tyreek Hill is the difference maker for the Chiefs. Chiefs are probably still a playoff team, but again, mathematically, that's going to be very interesting to see how that could work out. Theoretically, I suppose four teams in the AFC West could go to the playoffs because of the way the playoffs are structured now, because you're taking three wild cards now. So theoretically, that's possible, correct? Unless the NFL has said, you can't have more than three teams in the playoff picture.
There's got to be some kind of mathematical equation where you could probably get two, maybe three teams, but I find it hard to believe four of them get in.
But if you have...
Then there would have to be three other AFC teams that aren't in there.
Yeah, and you'd and these teams are going to be beating each other up a little bit. But I think there's an equation where it works out. I do. I think it's a very a rare situation, but you could look at it in the standings and see that. So I'm just taking a shot in the dark. Listen, every time I want to put the Raiders at the bottom of the barrel, I just go back to Derek Carr, Davante Adams. They have a lot of other things that are going for them. I'm just throwing it out. Josh McDaniels. I said this years ago, that Josh McDaniels, given another try, might be pretty good as a head coach. He came to Denver, and it was, you're the GM, you're the head coach, go. I think he was like 34 or something when he did all of that. So he came in like a hot shot and wanted to replace all of the proven players, Jay Cutlers, Brandon Marshall at the time, Peyton Hillis. Was it Tony Scheffler? I'm just trying to think of some of the players that he wanted to move out quickly that were somewhat proven commodities for Denver. He wanted to build the team in his image, and he wanted to do it today. And so I think he's learned his lesson a little bit. He's not trying to ship Derek Carr out of here like he tried to ship, or out of Vegas like he tried to ship Jay Cutler out, or like he did ship him out. He took Kyle Orton in exchange for Jay Cutler. It was a terrible decision.
Really feels like he's going to be that one Belichick disciple to really break the mold.
Maybe.
That is not becoming Belichick in your next stop, so we'll see.
Yeah, again, that's why every time I go say, probably the Raiders, because I think the Chargers have the best roster. I really think they have the best roster in the division. Now, I know with J.C. Jackson getting hurt, he's probably going to miss, you know, a few 2 to 4 weeks at this stage. That's not an easy way. Again, just like the Tyreek Hill thing, I'll say that's a big hit for the Chargers. But, I mean, come on, be honest. Are you more terrified, because it's an offensive league, are you more terrified at losing a stud corner or terrified of losing a stud wide receiver? That, I guess that's subjective, but I feel like the loss of Tyreek Hill to Miami is greater than the loss of J.C. Jackson for 2 to 4 weeks. That's just the way it is. Tyreek's gonzo, never coming back. J.C. Jackson's going to be back in 2 to 4 weeks. So that's a big hit for the first couple of games. But, I mean, Tyreek Hill changed several games, including that Buffalo Bills playoff game last year. So I just, every time I want to put the Raiders down there, I hesitate. I'm shocked that they're picked last, like, countrywide. Everybody kind of agrees that the Raiders at the worst might be, and the Broncos are in that mix too.
Clarify, last in this division may be 11-6.
I think that could very well happen. I think, and again, this is why it's so difficult and a fun argument to have, is all four of these teams on paper we'd all love to see in the playoffs. All four of these teams have star power now. The Broncos probably have less. They have guys that are good. Patrick Surtain's good, but he's not a star yet. Javonte Williams, good. He's not a star yet. Yet. When he's top five running back, though, he will be in the league. So I'm not going to throw a fit here if the Broncos end up winning this poll question, meaning they lose at the end, because that I could see that happening, too. If the Russell thing doesn't quite work out, if the offensive line doesn't quite work out, Nathaniel Hackett's strategy and approach to all of this doesn't work out, I mean, again, that's not... That wouldn't be the biggest shock in the world. I can't remember who it was. Maybe it was on the Rich Eisen show that we carry here on the afternoons on KFK. that sources inside the NFL say Nathaniel Hackett is either going to be amazing, like the next kind of Sean McVay type, Matt LaFleur type guy that is really good and he's just a staple in the league, or this is going to be a beautiful failure. So there's really no in between. There's no, hey, he'd be fine for a few years, and maybe he coaches the Broncos for 5 to 7 years. They have a couple of playoff hits. They also have some losing seasons in there. This is either he is a guy that could put you in the conversation of winning a Super Bowl year in and year out, or he's gone in 3 years. That's what a lot of league sources are saying. Now, I don't have that source specifically, but that's kind of the consensus about Nathaniel Hackett throughout the NFL. 21 minutes after the 11 o'clock hour. Angel, let's get to it. The good, the bad, the ugly from yesterday, presented by FMS Bank, banking made simple. And I'll just do this. The good for me was going out to the Front Range huddle and listening. It's a different approach. I mean, we talked to Ed on the phone. We talked to Carl Durrell on the phone. But getting out in kind of an open environment where they're excited talking to the media, it is a little different. It's why I value going down there. So Ed McCaffrey was great. Here's Ed kind of talking about the upcoming season.
And so we didn't live up to our expectations. We wanted to compete and get to the playoffs and win a Big Sky championship. But it wasn't in the cards last year, you know. But I'm so proud of the guys this year. The new players and the players that are returning for just how hard they've worked. And we have been in person in the spring, and we were in person in the summer, and we came in with so much more confidence and excitement into this fall camp.
Sure.
And so I'm hoping that pays dividends. There's no guarantees. You got to go out and play ball and make plays, right? But it's been so much more fun to coach. And this is what I thought I signed up for
right.
when I took the job.
Yeah.
I didn't sign up for a global pandemic.
No.
I did the best I could under the circumstances. I didn't know about portal rules at the time. I didn't know that they were going to change those rules, and didn't know that NIL was going to be a thing. And it all happened, and we all adjusted and adapted the best we could. But now we've settled in, and we got a team that I'm really proud of that's excited to play football.
There's Ed McCaffrey. You know, and again, if you want to defend the guy, you certainly can. Carl Durrell, all these other coaches that started in the COVID year or before the COVID year or what have you, all experienced similar things, but they'd had experience as a somewhat of a coach in college or even the NFL. Ed had 2 years of high school football experience as the head coach before he became the UNC Bears head coach. Here is Carl Durrell talking about what everybody wants to know if you're interested in the Buffs at all. Who's going to be the starting quarterback?
There's no one that has the reins right now because of the guys that are competing for that job. But we feel like we're in really good shape, though. It's a good problem to have than actually a poor decision to have. It's one of those things that if you guys are watching our practices and you watch them both perform and you see how both, you know, everybody offensively believes in both of these guys, you know, they can care less who the guy is because they think that they can win with either one of them.
Right.
So that's kind of why we have a comfort level, even though we haven't made a decision today, that we feel like it's going to work out really, really well.
He did not break the news with us, by the way. I don't know that he will until, like, right up to TCU in a week almost for the Colorado Buffaloes. The bad for me is, come on, what are we doing? Geno Smith starting tomorrow. Give Drew Lock the full chance to see if he can survive.
Leave Bennett
yeah.
alone!
Come
Leave.
On. I mean, all Drew has to do is perform extremely well, and Geno perform extremely bad, and then Drew's got the job. Pete Carroll is still saying it's open, but he's saying Geno's the starter tomorrow. So, again, if Geno is fine, then Drew Lock won't be starting. If Geno is probably just average, unless Locke comes out and lights it up and whatever, the second half or however much time he's actually going to get. So,
interesting game to watch.
It should be fun on NFL Network tomorrow night. The ugly for me, oh boy, this was bad. Rockies lose 16-4. How many times have the Rockies hit the ugly this week, Angel? Is this just the second time this week?
This might be the first this week.
Okay. Well, look at that. We didn't do one yesterday. So.
Right.
But they did. They won that game. So they would have, even when they could have got out of the good, the bad, the ugly, we didn't do it yesterday because we didn't have time. So 16-4, Jose Urania was awful and a rough go for him. And the Rockies, they are now 54-71. On the season. 25 minutes after the hour. Short break coming up. Quarterback battle. There's something to watch, at least for the Broncos this weekend. Nathaniel Hackett says, do not expect a lot of starters, if any. Surprise, surprise. However, there's intrigue. Is it going to be Josh Johnson or Brett Rypien to back up Russell Wilson in the 2022 campaign? It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy, live from the Allo Communications Studios on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Sunday and Monday Night Football are on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Katie Wingy, your host, reporter, and analyst for the Denver Nuggets, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Minutes after 11 o'clock. Welcome into the whole show powered by PDC Energy. Shout out to Weldworks in downtown Greeley. Every Friday, they do a new beer release. And listen, it's not just like they're churning them out left and right. Have you seen their operation? They're churning them out, but it's dialed in beer. They're focused on what they're doing. They have so many brewers that are probably good enough to just go on and do their own thing, but they're a part of this gigantic brewery that has been making great beer for several years now. Stop by Weldworks, try the Juicy Bits. You will not be sad. You got to do it. And then while you're there, I recommend, so the Annex new kind of eatery inside Weldworks, so you can eat while you're there. Always love it when breweries offer that, because a lot of times breweries don't, or you have the food truck or whatever. Not the case at Weldworks. Try the double cheeseburger. Tell them I sent you here from the whole show powered by PDC Energy. Quarterback battle coming up this weekend for the Broncos, at number two at least, Josh Johnson or Brett Rypien. Is there an off chance that the Broncos carry three quarterbacks? Again, you don't want to do that because you want to make room for more receivers or more cornerbacks or whatever it looks like for you, more linemen, offensive linemen. But I'm just wondering if it's not the safe bet going in, and you are worried about Russell Wilson getting hurt. He doesn't have a history of it for sure. But again, if he goes down, the whole thing probably goes up in flames. Is Josh Johnson going to save him? Is Brett Rypien going to save him? I feel like personally, Brett Rypien has outperformed Johnson, although acknowledging Rippin's been going up against the twos, threes, and fours. Johnson, some ones, twos. Not really as many threes and fours. So I will say that Johnson's been, and that's the thing you're going to evaluate tomorrow with Geno Smith and Drew Lock, is you have to evaluate, all right, Geno might be average against twos and threes. Drew Lock might be pretty good against fours and fives. Guy's trying to make the team. So it is something we'll have to pay close attention to. Kevin Lytle is going to join me next from the Fort Collins, Colorado, and we are about a week away from CSU at Michigan, their first game of their new era, the Fort Air Raid era under Jay Norvell and Matt Mummy. We'll talk to Kevin about that coming up next. First, let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
This is Krista McKeo, your UNC women's basketball coach, and you are listening to the whole show, 1310 KFKA.
That's right, Rams Weekly. You want a deep dive into all things Colorado State Rams football. Who better to do it with than this guy right here, Kevin Lytle from the Fort Collins, Colorado, and also Chris Abshire. Great story, great write-up in the Coloradoan last night. Kevin, my man, I am pumped for this. Our first show is later today at 5 o'clock, and we talk a lot of Rams, but this is a program where we can really dive in and get into some game previews, looks around the Mountain West. It's a lot of fun. I love doing this thing.
Yeah, I know, speaking from our side of things, we're super excited to be back. And, yeah, it's just a lot of fun. Sit there, have a real long, in-depth chat about the Rams, and hopefully fans enjoy it. I know, man, people are getting excited now that the season's finally here. They're good vibes right now.
Yeah, no doubt, man. I mean, this is a big thing we've been talking about ever since Jay Norvell was hired. We've gone from, you know, wondering if this Rams program is just in the mud and when is it going to get out. And then suddenly Jay Norvell's here and has this amazing sense of excitement and promotion and everything surrounding this program that we've witnessed over the last 4, 5, 6 months. And we're pretty close, man. We're getting close to see what this team's all about. And I don't know, again, that the Michigan game will tell us exactly what this team is all about, but at least we're going to see the Rams in action.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the Michigan game, in a lot of ways, is like a crazy exhibition-type thing. I mean, obviously, CSU hopes to be in the game and have a chance to go beat Michigan, but realistically and practically, the season kind of starts after that because, you know, you're playing a top 10, you know, a playoff team on the road. You know, that's not a game most people expect a rebuilding team to win, but it is going to be fun to see it in action. And man, you know, what a way to test it out. And it's one of those that positives that, you know, you'll see from that game, I think will still get fans really excited, even if the score ends up slightly lopsided. You know, if Clay Millen goes out and has a solid day against Michigan, the hype will just continue to go.
Yeah. I mean, and so what are like, and I know we'll break into this more and more, but Michigan is, so you know, playoff team last year, top 10 projection this year, maybe even better. That's not just a good football team. That's just not just a Power 5 conference football team. That could be one of the best teams in the country.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's quite a test. You know, it's the biggest football stadium in the country, third biggest stadium in the world. You know, so it's the biggest crowd CSU football will have ever played in front of and will ever play in front of. So it's a great test and a great challenge, obviously. But that, you know, I've said I don't think this is maybe the ideal way to start for the Norvell era. But in a way, it's not bad at all because, like I say, I think people understand the challenge that they face. So it's sort of there's nothing to lose, that type of thing going in.
It does kind of feel like that, doesn't it? You're going to see some Rams fans being a little facetious about it or whatever, like, hey, we're going to go into the big house and we're going to win that game. But you're right, it does feel like this game, first and foremost, the Rams go into it, hey, we're playing with house money, brand new coaching staff, a bunch of new players, extremely new philosophy, and we're going up against one of the best teams in the country. So the expectations are going to be set pretty low, even though we've been dying to see CSU football for so long.
Yeah, it's almost like a soft opening, if you will, for the Norvell era. You know, you kind of work out some kinks. You know, not everything may go perfect, but it'll still kind of get some excitement going. I think that's kind of a way a lot of fans are viewing it right now. Next Saturday is kind of just a party. It's, you know, obviously folks going to Michigan, it's going to be a really fun experience. And folks here, it'll just be exciting to see a team that, you know, I think people are excited to root for, which, you know, frankly, has not been the case for a while. You know, even last year, even the people that were optimistic or hopeful about CSU, I don't think anyone, you know, really loved the idea of going all in on a Steve Adazio team. It just wasn't likable. You know, no fault of the players, but that's just the truth. That's the way it was.
Kevin, I was talking about this on the show maybe yesterday, maybe a couple of days ago, but, you know, it's so important. I'm looking around at all these college football teams that we follow throughout the state, and other than a few, you know, I know Craig, if you want to go into Wyoming, Craig Bull's been there for, what, 9 years? Troy Calhoun's been there for a while now. But, like, when you look at the Buffs, you look here at the Bears, Colorado State, there hasn't been a consistency at the head coaching spot for a while. And I was wondering, is that maybe why, before that Nevada game, if we were wondering or worrying about Joe Parker not moving on from Adazio, was because athletic directors and programs are so desperate to say, hey, we got to give it time to take hold. We don't want to be churning out new coaches every 2 to 3 years. And then obviously that Nevada game kind of sealed Adazio's fate, it seemed like anyway. But you can kind of see why Parker wanted to hang on, or if he did halfway through the season, really thinking, no, we're going to try to give this guy an honest shot.
Yeah, Joe Parker very forcefully said publicly, and he basically said, any fans that are thinking of a coaching change, you know, are out of their minds. We absolutely are not. We need cohesion. And in a way, I understand the general idea of where he's coming from of, yeah, coaching change after 2 years generally is not good. Now, I think they had to realize that, you know, that was a, you know, a ship that was sinking fast. You had to get off rather than try and keep it floating. But generally, the cohesion can be good, but it has to be the right person. I mean, you don't want, you know, 6-7 years of mediocrity just for the sake of cohesion. And that's where it is tricky, and that's where decision, you know, tough decisions are made. But, you know, CSU obviously will hope that they can get a little bit of that here. You know, I already have people saying, well, Norvell's not going to be around long. I say, well, worry about that when CSU wins. CSU hasn't won in so long that if there's a chance that their head coach is getting poached because the team is too good, that's a great problem. let's worry about that one as opposed to the opposite side of, you know, we need to get rid of this coach because we're so bad.
It's funny, too. We do tend to do that. Before Jay Norvell's even started coaching this team, at least in a real game, there's in the back of your brain going, hey, if this guy is as good as advertised, you know, what he did with Nevada, imagine what he does with the resources CSU can give him. Oh, my goodness. Look at, we did the same thing with Bobo. I mean, some people did that at least. Like, when he went 7-6, I think 3 in a row, you're at the first year or two, you're wondering, man, are we going to be able to hang on to Bobo? And we do kind of tend to freak out a little bit there. But you're right. If Jay Norvell is as good as advertised, he's just going to continue creating this bright beacon that does put the spotlight, shine the spotlight on Colorado State, which would also improve their chances of going to a Power Five.
Yep. I mean, that's what they need. They need that attention. CSU, you know, nationally is basically irrelevant. The only way they've made national waves in the last 2 years was through all the bad things, you know, all the off-field issues, the, you know, all the special teams disasters, the, you know, the field goal against Utah State, the ejection against Nevada. Those are the only ways CSU has got national attention over the last 2 years. So you need to flip that and have it be, you know, for big plays, you know, big wins, things like that. You know, Trey McBride obviously was the one exception. Obviously he got, you know, plenty of national pub, and rightfully so, but that was the only positive. Everything else has been negative. So you need to flip that. And I think Jay Norvell and what they're doing here at CSU is the right group, you know, right offense, right, all these things to do that. And now we're just finally at the season where, you know, we can actually see it in action, like you say, rather than just practices and everything. You know, we see it being put in place, but, you know, the fans haven't had that much opportunity, and you know, you play to win the game, so now we finally have the games.
Talking about Clay Millen, I mean, there's a lot of things that we can talk about with Colorado State, no question. Kind of a new-look defense, we'll get into that. These wide receivers, you know, Tanner Arkin, a local guy, tight end, living up to a pretty darn good tight end that is now in the NFL. But I always just go back to this. It's for air raid. It's, you know, you have these coaches that are all about this offensive philosophy. This is a big, big thing for Clay Millen. Your gauge as far as talking to players and coaches, what is the sentiment around Clay? I mean, obviously excited. He's a young guy. But is there confidence? Are you hearing confidence from the rest of his teammates, and including guys that have been there for a while?
Yeah, and you're right. You have to start there. The story hasn't published yet, but I just finished, you know, look at the players who need to be good if CSU is going to have a successful season. And first was Clay Millen, and put simply, I just said he's the quarterback of the air raid. Has to be good. You know, that's all you need to say. But, yeah, I'm working on a Clay Millen feature for next week, so I've been talking to a lot of folks. And yeah, everyone says very mature, very focused. You know, kind of a little anecdote that I got was Jacob Gardner, the center, said that Clay Millen has come into the O-line room to watch film with the O-linemen because he wants to, you know, take ownership of making sure the protections are good and things like that, which is, you know, I asked Jacob, you know, have you had other quarterbacks do that? He says it is pretty rare to have a quarterback come voluntarily watch film with the O-line. So things like that, and that's exactly what Jacob said. He goes, that, you know, that gives me great confidence of, you know, yeah, they're going to be growing pains, of course, but a guy that is that inquisitive and that hardworking, he's going to figure it out.
Yeah, and you love to hear that, too, especially with a young player. You know, getting a chance to talk to him more with his first Clay Millen show on Monday. I mean, I love it because he says all the right things. I mean, you hear confidence in himself, but you also hear, hey, I'm new here. I'm working my way in. I'm trying to establish myself. So there's guys that have been here for a while now, and I'm not trying to take over and say this is my team 100%. You want to hear that from a young quarterback saying, hey, there's guys that have been here laying the foundation, and I recognize these players, even though last year didn't go well, the year before that, there's players on this team that have a lot of talent, a lot of leadership. So I'm willing to step aside and kind of stop and listen to what they have to say.
Yeah, and it seems like he's probably more of a quiet leadership type, you know, maybe not the most outgoing kid, is, you know, somewhat reserved. And yeah, like you said, I think some of that is just being a, you know, a redshirt freshman that's still fairly new in the program. You know, he's not going to come in acting like, you know, he owns the place or anything like that. And that's good. I mean, that, you know, you have to be, quarterback is a position where your teammates have to like and respect you. You can't be, you know, this arrogant jerk that everyone hates, because it just doesn't work. That's a position where people have to respect you. And it seems like Clay has that. When you talk to people, it seems like he's a liked and respected guy. And actually, you know, it's funny, it's four freshmen in the QB room. And we were talking to Matt Mummy the other day, and he said, yeah, you know, Braden Fowler-Nicolosi and Jackson Stratton, the two guys that came in the class last year, you know, obviously they're competing for the job and they're the same age. But he said, well, guys, who do you hang out with outside football? They go, Clay. So even though they're all, you know, fighting for one spot, you know, they seem to be friends. And I think that speaks well to, you know, who Clay is. You know, if he were that arrogant jerk, the guys who were trying to unseat him sure as heck wouldn't be hanging out with him outside of football.
No question about it, man. There's no doubt. And he seems like a really bright kid. We'll see what the future holds for him, the immediate future holds for him. Kevin, I know you and Chris will be here later this afternoon. Excited for our first edition of Rams Weekly, talking all things CSU, Mountain West. We have some Mountain West games that I'm very curious to get your thoughts on. That team up north in Wyoming plays this weekend. So I know we're going to break into all of that. I cannot wait, man. We love our connection with you. I love our connection with the Coloradoan. And I'm looking forward to a fun season of broadcast.
Yeah, likewise. We're really excited to get going.
All right, my man. There he is, Kevin Lytle of the Fort Collins Coloradoan. He's our Rams insider. He's been that way for quite some time. 11:49 the time. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, we'll wrap up hour number one. We're going to talk to none other than head volleyball coach Lindsey Oates of the UNC Bears. They had an exhibition game over the weekend, won that. They're picked to finish top in the Big Sky yet again. They were in the national tournament for the sixth time last year. The accolades go on and on and on for this volleyball team. Can we expect the same thing this year? And is there a sense of pressure? Because we all expect this volleyball team to be good every single year now, which you cannot say that a lot about teams that we cover on a daily basis. And that's just the truth of it. So this is one of the good ones. So we'll be excited to talk to Lindsey coming up next, or in the second hour, I should say. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy, live from the Allo Communications Studios on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hear the latest on your local football teams during your drive to work with Good Morning NoCo. A Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Ali Farokmanesh, assistant men's basketball coach at Colorado State, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
/11:54. Welcome back to the whole show, powered by PDC Energy, live from the Allo Communications Studios. Shout out to No Limit Collectibles, man. Get over, get your man cave ready to go, get your office looking sharp with your new sports memorabilia. Get that collection sharpened up, man. There are some monster cards. I saw like a Jalen Hurts card. It's just, there's a specific card that they have, and I can't remember what brand it was, but my goodness, it's selling for a lot right now. Who knows? You could go individually pick out some cards or pull something fantastic from No Limit Collectibles. Buy, sell, trade. There's no limit to what you can collect. They're now in West Greeley near another friend of ours, Cables Pub and Grill. Angel, before we get out of this hour, what's going on with South Carolina's mascot? They're wanting to change the name? What's happening here?
Yeah, so South Carolina's live rooster mascot is getting a name change. among a disagreement between the bird's original owners and the new owners over whether or not the animal's comb on its head should be trimmed. The comb on a rooster is the red, fleshy area on its head that makes the bird look more like a fighting gamecock. This is fascinating. I love live mascots, and this rooster is one of the coolest ones.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, and they're not wanting to change the name of, like, the South Carolina Gamecocks. They're wanting to change the the name of the bird itself. Like, they named the bird something.
Yeah, his name is Big, or Sir Big Spur.
Okay, and I had no idea. I never pay attention to the names as much, but
they have a poll set up for their fans. General, Captain Cluck, Cluck Norris, Mr. Chicken Scratch, Coop, Kickin' Chicken, Brewster, Marco Polo, or Cockadoodle Dude are the options.
I thought there was another one in there, though, that was kind of like
Cock Commander.
Do it, please. Please, please do that. Please make that happen. I am, whatever it takes, I'll sign whatever I need to. Please do that last one. We don't need to dissect this. We don't need to go into detail here. But just please do that. At least, I thought it was going to be something like, okay, is this a controversial name or something? But no, it's because it doesn't look like its name suggests. Hey, I'll take it, man. I'll take it. At least we're not fighting about it. Well, maybe these guys are, but yeah, go with that last one. That one could be good. All right, Lindsey Oates, head volleyball coach, coming up next. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.